gente. Life can be so sweet on sunny side street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, normally just your 20% host, but this week your 100% host, giving 100% of the effort. And that's because Frank and the gang have been off on vacation all week long. Frank wouldn't be here anyway because he'd be off on assignment, but he put off his assignment to continue his vacation, which I think was very nice of him.
Maybe his assignment took him to Jamaica.
I don't think he would mix business and pleasure like that. So Ian and Dan are with him, and about 100 of our listeners. And in their stead, we've got Tim Weiland filling in for Dan. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Paul.
And Josh Gilbert is here continuing his marathon week and filling in for Ian. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good, Paul. Good.
When they fly back from Jamaica, do they have to fly through Charlotte? Because I know that they're talking about the weather from this big storm Jonas that's starting to hit the East Coast now, and it's going to have an impact on one of the football games I'm planning on watching on Sunday afternoon, because the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, are going to be playing at Charlotte against the Panthers on Sunday, and they're talking about, you know, all the whole East Coast from North Carolina all the way up to maybe New York getting swamped by 20, 30 inches of snow, and all the flights have been canceled. I wonder if the Cardinals have gotten there yet.
I don't know, but I know they upped it from 75 million people affected to 85 million now.
That's how we count snowstorms on the East Coast. Not here. Doesn't count in the Midwest. When we had flooding, you didn't hear how many people in the Midwest or in this area were affected by that.
No.
Always not in numbers, but there, because we can use the word million, 75 million, 77 million. It's just round numbers they're making up. So Frank will be back here with Ian and Dan on Monday. Yesterday on the show, I was talking about getting old, because I got some bad news from my mom and a cousin of mine, that an aunt of mine who's 3 weeks away from being 99 years old is probably not going to make it to her 99th birthday. She's got dementia and has not had a good life for the last decade or so. I was talking about how I don't want to get to be old, and we also talked about how the most recent person named the world's oldest man had just died earlier this week. And I got a call off the air yesterday from a woman by the name of Sunny Gibbs, who works over at the Tower Grove Manor Senior Apartments. And she said, you know, we're coming up on a big birthday for a person here in town who deserves recognition. A woman by the name of Lucy Hamm, who next Friday is going to celebrate her 108th birthday.
Wow.
And she said, I heard you talking about your aunt and your mom and other people once they get past their 90s. I will tell you that Lucy still lives on her own and is doing very, very well. In fact, next Friday, on her birthday, we're going to decorate the community van with birthday posters and take her on a birthday parade down Grand Boulevard. So if you're in the South Grand area between Arsenal and Gravois, 1 o'clock next Friday, the 29th, you know, go out on the sidewalk and wave to Lucy Hamm on her 108th birthday. She also says they're trying to collect 108 birthday cards for Lucy. If you want to drop one off, you can at the Tower Grove Manor Senior Apartments, right across from Tower Grove Park at the Grand Boulevard entrance, or you can go to towergrovemanor.org for more information. So, premature happy birthday to nearly 108-year-old Lucy Hamm, who Sonny thinks is the oldest person here in the St. Louis area. Okay, a couple of things I want to get to on my desk today.
Paul,
desktop
just,
today. Yes.
Let me just interrupt you here
yes.
for just 1 second.
Yes,
the
Josh.
Arizona Cardinals
yes.
are scheduled to fly out tomorrow morning.
In the middle of the storm?
Even though all flights into Charlotte today have been canceled.
That seems like bad planning.
So they're not
yeah.
there yet.
If I were the owner of the team, I would have gone to my travel secretary yesterday and said, we're leaving tonight, right?
Or
first thing Friday morning.
All flights are canceled today.
Now, I can understand you want to have another practice, if you can, in sunny Arizona. But you're going to snowy North Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, the field will be clear, but I saw a video today of Cam Newton and the Panthers practicing in the snow. Which, by the way, if you can remember, when you were a kid, when there was a snow day, if you could go out and get friends together to play a football game.
You bet.
That was the greatest.
When you were a kid, we were teenagers, 16, 17, and 18, working at Coco's Famous Hamburgers. And on a day off, we'd play, okay, we'll get the game with the North County Coco's at Parkway North or something. Uh-huh. You know? So,
yeah.
That was a treat.
I used to, I said when you were a kid, when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I used to get together with a bunch of guys every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. During the football season, we started the weekend after Labor Day weekend, the Sunday after Labor Day, and we would play touch football for a couple hours and then go to somebody's house and watch the first game, whoever it was. And we did this for years, and our season ended. We insisted that the season continue until the Super Bowl or the first snow, because we always wanted to have a snow bowl.
Right.
That is absolutely the most fun.
Yeah, it is.
You don't really have good footing, but nobody has good footing. And there's always one guy who shows up that day with cleats.
Yeah.
Everybody, hey, no, come on. Come on.
Always be prepared. Did you see that game in Philadelphia a couple of years ago where the snow just came down so quickly that they didn't have time to shovel the lines and everything? And and when they went to go kick field goals or extra points, they had to go for two.
I remember there was a famous game in Foxborough in New England. I don't remember when this was, where the Patriots were going to kick a field goal, and they called timeout, and a guy with a snowblower went out on the field and cleared the area where he was going to kick.
Because it's pretty tough to kick a football in 5 inches of snow.
Absolutely. You know, there was a time when the ground was snow-covered, and they didn't have time to clear off everything, that you couldn't see the lines, you couldn't see the numbers, of the yardage markers or any of that sort of stuff. But now with digital technology, Fox or CBS or NBC or ESPN, they put that stuff in. So you the home people at the stadium can't see that, but you and I can see it because of the TV technology. So it'd be interesting to see if the Cardinals can actually get in there tomorrow. And if they get a practice in before the game on Sunday, and I'm sure the field will be cleared by then. Remember, there was a game in Buffalo a couple of years ago where they offered people $10 if they would come and shovel out the stadium. To which I said, $10? How about a ticket to the game?
Yeah.
$10. Not going to break my back for $10 for a billionaire football owner.
Be a part of Bill's history.
Right. Yeah. No thanks. No thank you. All right, a couple of things on my desk. And later on, Colin will be here, and we'll do the movie and showbiz stuff in the second hour, and, of course, in the third hour. You've been waiting for it all week long. It's the most fun you can have with your radio on, the Harris Challenge, coming up at 5:15, plus Mike Evans and Knuckleheads in the news all ahead. When I walked in here today, Tim said to me, did you hear about the guy in North Korea? And I said, no, what guy? Apparently some knucklehead American, a student at the University of Virginia, has gone to North Korea, and what happened? He got taken captive by the North Koreans, who say he's in the country under the guise of a tourist, but actually is plotting to destroy North Korean unity with the tacit connivance of the U.S. government and under its manipulation. Of course North Korea says that. Of course North Korea does. Why do they keep going over there?
I don't get it.
If I won the lottery... And we're going to get to the lottery story here in a minute. If I won the lottery and had all the money in the world and I could go anywhere I wanted in the world, my list doesn't even include North Korea. Forget about putting them last. They're not making the list.
Right.
This kid's name is Otto Warmbier. No word on exactly why he's over there. And the State Department's being very mum on it, and his family's not saying much. But apparently he got over there through a tour company based in China that specializes in travel to North Korea. Well, if you're Chinese and you go to North Korea, that's different. You never hear North Korea mad at the Chinese. They're buddies. They're allies. But this guy goes over there, and he's clearly an American, and he's not Dennis Rodman, so he's not exactly welcome in the company, in the country. Now, here's my favorite part of this story that I printed out from CBS News about this. Because they go into, you know, North Korea and Washington constantly having these battles over all sorts of diplomatic things. But here's my favorite paragraph in this story. A few thousand Westerners visit North Korea each year, and Pyongyang, that's their capital, Pyongyang is pushing for more tourists as a way to help its dismal economy. Now, two things. First of all, dismal economy, that's going to hurt tourism. When you tell people you have a dismal economy, or people know you have a dismal economy, you know what also hurts tourism a lot? When people do come as tourists, and you throw them in jail as spies.
Come for the dismal economy. Stay for the prison sentence.
And you talk about the tourism they had on one of the news channels last week or the week before. They are offering helicopter tours now around Pyongyang for tourists. You come over there, you could take a helicopter for an aerial tour of the city.
And at the end, we lower you on a rope right into your jail cell.
Yeah. When my thing is if you go over there, when is it going to get to the point where the State Department is going to throw up their hands and say, look, you know what this, you know what it's like?
How many times do we have to tell you not to go to North Korea?
We don't have a relationship with them, and we are not going to try to get you out.
Right.
I don't know that I mean, it's not humane, but it's reality.
I think that the State Department should make that public announcement. Dear Americans, don't go to North Korea, because if something goes bad, we ain't coming to save your ass.
You're on your own.
Now, I would do that.
I would, too. I don't get it.
All right, I mentioned lottery stuff. I heard, Josh, you and John Carney talking about this earlier today, about a guy who won the lottery in Georgia, 20-year-old guy named Gregory Birch Jr., 20 years old. He won $434,272 in the Georgia lottery. This was in Powerball. This is the state lottery there. 2 months after winning it, in November, just this week, robbers broke into his home, killed him. Now, this goes right back to something I was talking about when we were discussing the whole Powerball thing, which is, if you were to win, not even $400 million, but $400,000, do not tell people. Do not tell anybody around. Do not go around acting like you're a lottery winner, because people are going to want your money. And if they can't get the money from you, they're going to kill you. And that's exactly what happened to this guy. This guy, by the way, 20 years old, he bought Christmas presents for people in need. He helped out his mom. He helped other people out. He didn't blow through all the money, but now they've come through his front door, broken into his house, and killed him. Which led me to a story. I know we're a couple of weeks past the Powerball story, but I just saw this today because I was thinking about the bad luck, if you will, of lottery winners. Obviously, they have to have good luck to win, but then the bad luck that overcomes them. Well, there's a guy by the name of Edward Ugel who wrote a book I found online today called Money for Nothing, One Man's Journey Through the Dark Side of Lottery Millions. Can I share with you some of the stories of some of these people who had lottery winnings go wrong? One guy's named Abraham Shakespeare. In 2006, he hit it big for $30 million. And according to Edward Ugel, that caused friends and family to hound him for money. He befriended a woman named Dee Dee Moore, who tricked him into believing that she was trying to protect him from the greedy people around him. She convinced him to transfer his assets to her. And then he went missing in 2009, and 3 years later, they finally pinned the crime on, guess who? Dee Dee Moore. There's David Lee Edwards, who was a former drug addict and felon and unemployed guy in South Florida when he won $27 million in 2001. Quickly blew through the money by buying a $1.6 million house in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, plus three racehorses. Plus a fiber optics company, plus a Learjet, plus a limo business, plus a $200,000 Lamborghini Diablo, and a whole bunch of other luxuries. And because he was a former drug addict, you give a former drug addict a lot of money, when he doesn't have the willpower, he and his wife went back to doing crack and pills and heroin, lost all of that $27 million in just a few years, ended up living in a storage unit surrounded by human feces. Died in hospice care at age 58. Jeffrey Dampier, from right here in Illinois, won $20 million in the state lottery. That was in the days when the state had the money to pay you when you won the lottery. Then his family turned against him. He showered them with cash and gifts, but that was not enough for some of them, including his sister-in-law, Victoria Jackson, who kidnapped him and shot him in the back of his head with her boyfriend 7 years after he won the jackpot. You would think once you win the lottery, you know people are going to come out of the woodwork, the cockroaches are going to show up, they're going to run out into the light and try to get your money at the beginning. But you would have to think that after a year or two, okay, you've taken care of who you can, you've shunned the rest of the people who you're not going to give money to. 3, 4, 5 years go by. Hopefully you can now live your life. 7 years later, the sister-in-law still carried a grudge because she had not gotten enough money from him. She and her boyfriend killed him. They're charged with murder, or both doing life in prison in Illinois. Aruj Khan from Chicago, 46 years old, won $1 million, dropped dead that day.
Oh,
by the way, when I say drop dead, he didn't have a heart attack. Cyanide poisoning by his sister-in-law and her father.
What's wrong with people?
By the way, in his will, he left no money to his sister-in-law and her father. It went to his daughter and his widow. Michael Carroll, 26 years old, in 2002, won the equivalent of $15 million U.S. dollars in a jackpot in England. Parties, cocaine, hookers, cars, a villa in Spain, quad bikes, demolition derby cars, flashy jewelry. 4 years later, no money. Convicted of drug possession. Went to jail. Bud Post III won the Pennsylvania lottery, $16.2 million. Within 2 weeks, he had blown $300,000 of it by buying a car lot, a restaurant, and a plane, even though he couldn't fly. A year after winning $16.2 million, 1 year after winning $16.2 million, he was $1 million in debt. Not only was he broke and forced to declare bankruptcy, his own brother was arrested for hiring a man to kill him. See, this is what I'm saying. Don't tell people. This is one of my favorites, a guy named Jack Whitaker, not the former sportscaster who was on CBS and for a while on ABC. This is a guy from West Virginia who was already rich. He had about $17 million to his name when he won a Powerball jackpot in 2002 for $315 million. Used most of his winnings for good stuff. He built churches, he donated a lot of it to charities, launched the Jack Whitaker Foundation to provide clothes and food to low-income families. And then he was arrested for drunk driving. And then he was sued for groping a woman at the racetrack. And then he was sued for hitting a bartender. On two separate occasions, thieves robbed him. Once, he was robbed outside of a strip club. Tim, I want you to just take a wild guess. How much cash do you think they got from him when they robbed him outside of a strip club? I'm sorry, the answer is $500,000.
I remember that story.
$500,000. He's in a strip club with $500,000 in cash. Not the first time. The second time he was robbed coming out of a strip club, he had $200,000 on him. I wonder how much money the strippers made while he was inside the strip club. So Jack and his wife divorced after he became an alcoholic. He gave his 17-year-old daughter a weekly allowance of $2,100. She died of a drug overdose, as did her boyfriend. Whitaker and his wife say they wish they had torn that damn ticket up, because life was actually pretty good before he won the lottery. Yeah. Evelyn Adams won two lotteries in 1985 and 1986, back-to-back in New Jersey. Unfortunately, New Jersey is where Atlantic City is. Gambled it all away. Ended up in a trailer park. And Bob Harrell Jr. donated the $31 million he'd won to a lot of people in need, lent some of his cash to people close to him, ended up breaking up with his wife, moved to Texas, found dead in his home with a gunshot wound to his head. That one was called a suicide. That wasn't his family coming after him. But just time and time and time again. Please heed my words. I know the Powerball jackpot's nowhere near it, and we don't have Powerball fever now, even though it's, I think, like 30 million or 40 million. Like 60. That would, 60, yeah. Whatever it is. Like, that wouldn't set you up for the rest of your life if you were to win it.
Yeah.
But if you do win it,
I read a story last week, and it was one of these things like you're doing, Paul, reading a whole bunch of them. And there was a woman, I want to say it was in Florida, and she won the lottery, didn't tell her husband about it. She won like $2 million or $2.6 million, did not tell her husband about it, divorced him. She gave money to a son that she had with a previous person.
Uh-huh.
And when the ex-husband found out about it, he sued her. And when they went to court, the judge gave everything to him and nothing to her.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was good karma.
Because she had not told him about the money.
Yeah. Yeah, so she ended up losing everything, and he gained it, and that was it.
Wow. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while, which is called You Be the Jury. I've got a case here in which you can be both jury and judge. I'll lay it out for you in just a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS. First, let's see what the roads are like for the Friday ride home.
All right, well, I'm looking right now, and they're saying that Forest Boulevard, east and westbound between Washington Park and Kings Highway, is shut down, and that's due to ice buildup, and that's been closed now for about an hour. It looks like we've got some pretty heavy traffic, and look, we may have an incident on Highway 170 right around Forest Park Parkway because people in both directions really jamming up there. Southbound 270, that's running stop and go now from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. This traffic report brought to you by Burger King. Like burgers, like chicken, then you'll love the new flame-grilled chicken burger from Burger King. And right now, they're just two for $5. The all-new flame-grilled chicken burger only at Burger King. Restrictions apply. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Still behind the wheel at 6 p.m. weekdays, wishing you could get a full report of the latest news, sports, and weather? Well, you can with Fox 2 News at 6 with Sandy Miller on KTRS. Depend on it.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-300-3961. Strict limit of one per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated? See how much flatter Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry! Call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-300-3961. That's 1-800-300-3961. 1-800-300-3961.
Attention all homeowners. Please stay tuned for the following fraud alert. The FBI warns that mortgage fraud, also known as house stealing, is one of the fastest-growing white-collar crimes in America. A con artist pretending to be you forges documents transferring your home title into their name and then either sells your home for cash or takes out a big mortgage. You have no idea it's even happened until you get a foreclosure notice or the new owners show up to move in. Homeowners are strongly advised to go to the National Fraud Alert Service Home Title Lock and find out whether you've already been targeted as a victim. HomeTitleLock.com is providing this information, including a free trial of their fraud alert service, free of charge. Con artists are specifically targeting older homeowners, homeowners with equity in their homes, and owners of vacation homes, cabins, and rental properties. To find out if you've already been targeted as a victim, go to HomeTitleLock.com now for your free trial. Again, go to HomeTitleLock.com for details. HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
If you don't have life insurance because you think you can't afford it, stay tuned for the following special opportunity. A life insurance company is now offering affordable term life insurance to the American public for under a dollar a day, so you can finally protect your family's financial future. But hurry, call immediately for free information. 1-800-554-6922. The call only takes 5 minutes and it's absolutely free. With this affordable insurance, if you're a 40-year-old man who doesn't smoke, you could get a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's a $500,000 to protect your family's dreams. If you thought you couldn't afford life insurance, well, now you can. Make the quick 5-minute call now and secure your family's financial future. That's free information on term life insurance policies issued by American National Insurance Company for under a dollar a day. Don't miss this special opportunity. Call AmericanNationalDirect.com at 1-800-554-6922. That's 1-800-554-6922.
Hi, I'm Carl Deichler, the CEO of Beachbody, and I'm here to tell you about an amazing new way you can start losing weight for free right now. You've probably seen our workout DVDs on TV like P90X, Insanity, and 21 Day Fix. Well, we just launched a beta trial of our new digital video platform called Beachbody On Demand. So while we're testing out this new digital video service, I'm inviting you to use it for free for 30 days. That means you can lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, even 30 pounds without paying a dime. Just go to myfreebod.com and you can do 30 days of P90X, Insanity, or any of over 400 workouts for free. Now here's the catch. In return, all I ask is you let us know what you think of the service while you're losing weight so we can make Beachbody On Demand the best fitness and weight loss site ever created. Go to myfreebod.com. That's myfreebod.com to get started for free right now.
Membership fees apply after 30-day trial. Cancel anytime.
Ascension Health Alliance, DBA Ascension, is seeking one full-time manager, supply chain management, Symphony deployment in Creve Coeur, Missouri, to prepare and deploy PeopleSoft supply chain management module for Ascension's health ministries and manage a team of 4 to 5 associates. Contact Jenna Mem, Vice President, Legal Services and Associate General Counsel, Ascension Health, 4600 Edmondson Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63134, 314-733-8692, jenna.mihm@ascensionhealth.org.
In the criminal justice system, there are two important groups: the talk show hosts who describe a case, and the talk show listeners, like you, who act as judge and jury on that case. Here now, for the first time in quite a while, I have one of those cases for you. This is from California. The story of a professor at El Camino College by the name of Cynthia Soman and her student, Dash Porter. Dash is 28 years old and is under criminal investigation for allegedly threatening to kill Professor Cynthia Soman because she wouldn't change his grade. Apparently, she was giving him low grades or failing him, and so he was sending her direct messages on Facebook. Messages like, "I'm putting a bullet through your blanking head. Change my grade, bitch, or I'm going to kill you. I'm coming to kill you tomorrow. The gun is loaded." El Camino College police arrested Dash Porter just a few weeks ago, after Professor Soman reported the messages. She had not seen them in the nearly 1 year that he had been sending these, because she's not that familiar with Facebook and didn't know about direct messages and never looked on that part of Facebook. His lawyer says, well, right there is proof that he wasn't actually going to harm her, because he was sending these messages for a year and he never did anything. Now, there's another part of this story you need to know before you render your verdict. He says he didn't intend to harm the professor because he's autistic and has language-based learning disabilities. The college had gotten a temporary restraining order keeping Dash Porter away from the campus, and they went to court this week to get a permanent restraining order, which the judge turned down. In opposing that attempt at the restraining order, Dash wrote, quote, "Professor Soman has no reason to fear me, nor would I ever take any action to hurt her or anyone. I've never been violent or aggressive towards anyone. I always verbalize my feelings and frustrations as an alternative to taking any negative action, as my parents have always taught me to use my words. I often use words to vent when I'm frustrated and say things that I might feel like I should do, but I never do them, as I do not want to hurt anyone, and this keeps me safe and out of trouble." As for Professor Soman, she says the messages from Dash Porter stating that he wanted to kill her for giving him a failing grade made her fear for her life and the lives of others. quote, I'm afraid that Mr. Porter may attempt to make good on his threats to kill me at work or at home. Now, as I mentioned, they're doing a criminal investigation of this right now because this all just started coming to light about 3 weeks ago. But if the facts are, as I've laid them out for you here, with him writing things like, you are nothing but a blanking cowardly blank, and once I find you again, bitch, you are dead, you are blanking dead, and you are nothing in this world, nothing, and this is your last chance, I mean it, change my grade or I kill, and you are so gonna die, you little blank, once I return, I'm putting a bullet through your blanking head. I think you might need more than just a restraining order here, but I think it gets a little muddled because you're dealing with a guy who has autism. Now, I'm no expert on autism, but I wonder where you draw the line between punishing somebody for issuing deadly threats over and over and over again over the course of months. And just saying, okay, he doesn't know any better. So here's the phone number, 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, on your cell phone, *KTRS. Now, as for Porter, he writes that he'd spent 10 years at El Camino College and had to work very hard to pass his classes. He says, sometimes even with all my hard work, I still don't pass. This is very frustrating. I'm a good citizen. I'm a very hard worker. But sometimes the nature of my learning disabilities leads me to the wrong conclusions. And in this case, I used poor judgment and decision-making in writing these messages to Professor Soman. I was just too frustrated with the failing grade she gave me because it would make my education take even longer. And when he was asked by the judge, why did you use such vulgar and improper language, he said, those are words that I've seen used on the internet and on television and in films. And by people who seem angry, I use them as a script because they seem to fit the frustration that I felt. Now, I just want to go back to one thing that this autistic guy, Dash Porter, said himself, which is, I verbalize my feelings as my parents have always taught me to do. At no point did your parents not teach you it's okay to verbalize your feelings, but not these things? I guess in his mind, and maybe his parents have taught him this, doesn't matter how ugly and threatening the statements are, as long as you say them instead of acting out on them. But put yourself in the shoes of Professor Soman, who finally discovers that she's got a student who has been threatening to do horrible things to her. You would want to make sure that guy didn't come around anymore, wouldn't you? 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Michelle, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I work with autistic middle schoolers.
Okay,
and
perfect.
I call total crap on this. No. That's ridiculous to say that the autism has nothing to do with it, in my opinion.
You don't buy the excuse that this is just him acting it out verbally rather than acting it out physically?
I don't buy it for a second. The kids that I work with are high-functioning autistic, so if he attended this college, he was probably just that, is probably that, high-functioning autistic. And no, they know the difference between right and wrong. They know, you know, what's appropriate and what isn't. The autism has nothing to do with that, in my opinion.
Would you punish him the way you would a non-autistic person?
Well, obviously, like you said, without having every single fact, that's hard to say. But in general, absolutely. That is a death threats are not, don't fall on the spectrum. You know, that's not something that, that's not a trait of an autistic person to, we teach our kids to verbalize, but no, that's, he would be punished. I think he should be punished just the way anybody else would.
You sound the way I would expect you to sound because you work with autistic people. You're actually offended by this, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. It's ridiculous.
You should be.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called, Michelle. Thanks.
Thanks.
Rich, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Well, first off, I am in the PM.
Thank you very much.
And I wholeheartedly agree with, and you have to, I have to apologize. I've already forgot the previous caller's name.
Michelle.
Michelle. my girlfriend has an autistic child. He's still very young, but his anger and frustration generally results in his verbalizing the stuff. He doesn't become violent. He doesn't become dangerous. I actually, like Michelle was saying, I believe he's using autism as an excuse to get away with something that any other person would be charged with terroristic threats or Lord knows what in this day and age. But if he is able to attend college, the autism is nothing more than an excuse. He should know better than to send those type of messages to anybody, especially if it continued on for, I believe you said, over a year?
Yes.
Yeah, so you might be able to excuse one or maybe even two as a lack of judgment in verbalizing what he was, his frustration. But when you have something that's been going on for over a year, that's not verbalizing my feelings. That is a grudge, seeking out vengeance. The college teacher has every right to be concerned about her safety, and this guy should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, autism aside, because obviously he is functions well enough in society that if he's able to attend college, he should know better than this.
All right, Rich, I'm glad you called. I would actually use the word obsession when we're talking about something that goes on that long.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely some sort of obsessive behavior, which just adds to, if I was in the teacher's position, would add to my concern, besides the threats of violence, the obsessed nature of those threats.
Yep, great points. I'm glad you called. Here's Angie on the Big 550. Hello.
Hi, Paul, AM and the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. But you know what? We didn't give one of those to Rich. Give Rich a hallelujah.
I noticed that.
Yeah, so did I.
I am a parent of two boys with autism, but I also worked for 10 years in the field from, 3-year-olds up to age 21. So I have a different view on this.
Okay, good.
Yes, this can be a very autistic tendencies. These kinds of behaviors, well, actually, behavior is what I specialize in. We all have behavior and all of it can be modified.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Oh, yes.
You have?
Yes. What it is, and I am not saying this is okay and that there's a pass because he has autism and he has Asperger's, I would imagine.
I don't know.
That significant communication delay and social skills, those are the trademarks of autism. So you put those two together and you have lack of communication and you don't have social skills. Yes, there's a right and a wrong, and it is wrong. But when he's saying that it's a script, yes, I believe that. Not that he shouldn't be punished, but I've seen that too often. The frustration levels. And if people are calling and they work with certain ages, you may not even see some of those tendencies come out. But working with high schoolers, up to 21 that can't communicate, can't verbalize the way that they want to, the frustration level is significant.
Okay, so when you
and
have
that's
somebody,
where the outbursts come from.
When you have somebody in that situation that you've dealt with, or somebody, mm-hmm. or somebody like this Dash Porter out at El Camino College in California, what do you do?
Well, it's not an overnight. It's a long process. Everybody in that person's life has to be on the same page. And here's the thing: is that equate it to like loading a dishwasher. I have a hard time with my 16-year-old because it doesn't look the same every time. So he can't load it because it doesn't look the same every time.
Mm-hmm.
So when a child like that is given a different situation that they've never handled, sure, the parents, I don't know, maybe they told him, maybe they didn't. But it's a whole new situation.
And I can
it's not the same.
I understand the lack of social interaction skills, and I understand the developmental issues that are at play here. But at a certain point, isn't there a line where you're violently, verbally accusing or attacking somebody and making them fear for their life? And then the question becomes, is this criminal? It would be if this were not an autistic person. Can it be for an autistic person?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think that, and with my own boys, the biggest life skill that I've taught them is to have good behavior, because life is hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that easy. It takes a lot of work. But no, I don't think there's a pass, no matter what disability you have. All I can say is that definitely there needs to be a punishment, but hopefully there's people that can, it's not an easy fix.
Oh, yeah.
But that that there is appropriate... He shouldn't be allowed in her class. I don't know beyond that. I didn't hear the punishment part, if you said it.
Well, they haven't come up with a punishment yet. That's what I'm asking.
Did you say the judge denied a restraining order?
There was a temporary restraining order that's been in place for the last 3 weeks, but when the college went to the judge and asked for a permanent restraining order, the judge rejected it.
She would have fear, as she should, and she should be, the professor should be entitled to feel safe.
Every time, if I'm that professor, every time I go to that campus now, I'm looking 360 degrees all the time, wondering, is this going to snap and get worse, and my life will be at risk? And that's not a way for anybody to be forced to go through life. I'm glad you called, Angie. Thank you very much. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Larry, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Larry.
And I'm AM in the PM also.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I just want to preface this by saying I know nothing about autism.
I don't know much about it either.
I'm probably the most naive person there is. But I listened to what you said he wrote to the court. And then what he responded to the judge.
Yes.
This guy seems very intelligent, and I think just by hearing that, he probably knows the difference between right and wrong. And I think he needs to be punished. Now, saying that, just like a person that was not autistic had been doing this for a year, obviously they weren't going to carry through with it. So I'm not sure it needs to be a very severe punishment, an extremely severe punishment. But I do think that I think that his punishment is appropriate.
All right. I will tell you that I will tell you that he's also written, "I'm very sorry for the trouble I've caused Professor Soman and the trouble I may have caused everyone. I'm sorry for sending these messages, and I know better than to send such messages and will never send such messages ever again." I don't know that he wrote that or a lawyer or his parents wrote it for him, but that's where we're going to have to end it. I'm glad you called. Next hour, showbiz stuff with Colin Jeffrey. Later on, the Harris Challenge, knuckleheads of the news, and lots more. I'm glad you're here for the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Now let's go to Tim for the roads.
Well, the problem on northbound 170 is at Del Mar. You've got an accident. It is blocking the left lane, and you've got traffic backed up to Highway 40. That's also causing east and westbound 40 to back up in each direction, ramping onto northbound 170. Westbound 40 is already slow from Kings Highway out through McCausland. Eastbound 40 from, looks like, Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Southbound 270, they've cleared an earlier accident that was just south of Manchester in the center lane. You're running stop and go from Page down through Doherty Ferry. And this report brought to you by Hum by Verizon. Want a smarter, safer car? Just plug in Hum by Verizon. You instantly get vehicle diagnostics and pinpoint roadside and emergency assistance. Learn more at hum.com. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Desk.
It's freezing cold one day, torrential downpour of rain the next day, and then the next day, it's sunny and 75. St. Louis has weather, and that wreaks all sorts of havoc on your HVAC, and that's why you need to know about Gelmisch & Sons. It's a heating and cooling company that's been around since 1950. They'll come out any make, any model, and make sure your HVAC is working in peak condition, because you want that unit to last as long as possible. And the best way to do that is to make sure Gelmisch & Sons has it running in peak condition. Now, if you need a new system, Gelmisch & Sons will install a Lennox system. That is the gold standard. Both an air conditioner and a furnace installed with Gelmisch & Sons for $28.95. Gelmisch & Sons has been around since 1950. Family run and family operated all these many years. And in St. Louis, we need to stick together these days. So for all of your heating and cooling needs, Gelmisch & Sons, 314-993-1110 or gelmischandsons.com.
Enjoy signature cannolis, Italian cookies, coffees, and more at Pacioni Pastry. They also serve weekend brunch and daily lunch. Pacioni Pastry.
Yum.
Open late in the loop.
Nick Scalfano here from Furniture Marketplace USA. My family and I invite you to our four-year-old furniture store in Fenton. We are all about selling affordable USA-made furniture. In fact, over 95% of our showroom is American-made. You'll find USA brands like Serta, Broyhill, Von Bassett, also Solid Woods, Amish Built, and some Missouri-made furniture that's some of the best I've seen in my 40 years in this business. Good quality, USA-made, that's affordable, that's us. Furniture Marketplace, online at yourfurnituremarketplace.com.
Introducing Pizza Hut's new $5 flavor menu. Any two or more of your favorites are just $5 each. It's Pizza Hut's best deal, only at Pizza Hut.
Are you ready to take your education to the next level? Arizona State University now offers over 90 top-tier degree programs, 100% online. With ASU's highly ranked online programs, you'll earn the same degree as our on-campus students, with the ability to learn wherever you want, whenever you want. Same world-renowned faculty, same leading education, same global recognition from one of the top universities in the world. Call 1-800-400-9937. That's 1-800-400-9937.
I'm Jamie from Sherman Oaks, and I just graduated with my degree from Arizona State University. I chose ASU because I received the quality education I deserve in the major I wanted, all from my home.
Jamie's not the only one to earn a degree from ASU. There are over 90 degree programs offered 100% online from one of the top universities. Now's the time to learn more about earning your degree online from Arizona State University. Call 1-800-400-9937. That's 1-800-400-9937.
Get a free 6-inch Subway sandwich when you buy a 30-ounce drink. Text offers to 782-929. Subway, founded on fresh. Message and data rates may apply.
Weekday mornings at 6:35. Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus.